And I said, always fickle hearts, they cannot grasp my ways. And then in my anger I swore that they would never enter my place of rest. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. If you don't bring down the house that the enemy has built in your life with condemnation, if you don't bring down that house of low self-esteem or of haughtiness and pride, if you don't bring that thing down, God has said, you're sickening to me because you're not believing me. You're still letting the slanderer dictate who you are, what you should do, where your values at. You're still letting devils come in and create you in the likeness of Satan. You're not allowing me. You're not allowing what I've paid for. He paid such a high price to set us free. It's not a little thing not to become free. It's not a little thing not to have victory. It's a horrible thing to not understand what he's done and to let what Satan has done cause us not to have what God has done. And get out of the pity parties. Get out of the, I can't stand here anymore. You have a spirit of condemnation as your judge. That's why you can't, it's like, I'll never do it. I've tried. Quit trying. Let God destroy the works of the enemy. Start being honest. Start dealing with where you took the junk in. We're going to get in that this afternoon. Really see this thing. Folks, today, especially those who've come to a lot of meetings, if you haven't, we have got so many tapes of all of our meetings. If you like this, this is what we do all the time. It's all out there. None of them are too the same. We just keep doing different things. It's funny. God knows the whole Bible, not just one little section. And don't worry that you can't get all this. First of all, you can't get the tapes. But mainly, the Holy Ghost lives in you. You already know all of this. He's just helping your soul to catch on to what he already knows. You have the mind of Christ. He's just helping you to get that into your thinking brain. That's what I tell people. You'll know what you need to know from today. It'll come back. You'll be preaching it years from now with greater revelation and not know where on earth you ever heard it before. I'm sure everything I'm preaching, the seeds have gotten into me from somewhere. Some of it is just reading the word as seed. But some of it is things I've read and seen. Okay. Take care, brothers. Here we go. This is what we're doing this afternoon. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you ever has a wicked heart, so unbelieving as to turn away from the living God. Do you know what? If you have that thinking, this isn't real, this isn't going to work for me, this can't be real, you've got a wicked heart. Now, that's all right. Just recognize you got a wicked heart so we can get God give you a new heart. Recognize that that really bothers you. Whatever Satan has done to me, this is something that happens for me. So God, get rid of the wickedness. That's why David says, clean my heart, O Lord. Don't pretend you don't have a wicked heart. Just pretend you want him to change your wicked heart. I want him to change my wicked heart. I want to have a new heart of flesh. I want to really have God's heart. I don't even want just a new heart. I want God's heart. I want God's heart. The heart is your spirit. I want God's spirit and my spirit to be so united that I think like God. I know I won't be God. I don't want to be God. If I really know God, I'll know nobody can be God but God. And who wants anybody else to be God? Certainly not me. That's the whole bride and bridegroom thing. We won't get into it. But I'm telling you what. God, I want your heart. I don't even pray anymore, Lord, clean my heart. God, I want your heart. I want your heart. I want to feel what you feel. I want to think like you think. I want to love like you love. I want to forgive like you forgive. I want your heart. I don't want a wicked heart. I don't want the devil's heart. I don't want the devil's thinking. I don't want the devil's attitudes. I don't want the devil's, I don't want none of his stuff. Get rid of it all. Okay. Every day, as long as this today lasts, keep encouraging one another so that none of you is hardened by the lure of sin, because we have been granted a share with Christ only if we keep the grasp of our first confidence firm to the end. This just totally kills once saved, always saved doctrine. All you've got to do is read the Bible and realize that is a false doctrine. That's a false doctrine. He says that we are to encourage one another. That's why I want to see people who are hurt. When you don't come for a while, and I know that God's called me to disciple you, or mentor you, and you don't show up. I know it. I know right away Satan's got you feeling down, like you're no good anymore, that you can't fit in. He's got you busy. He's got this stuff going. And we just pray, Lord, wherever they are, help them to come back. But this is a word to us. We need to read this thing and get it. We're to encourage each other. If you got somebody who's walking away from God, walking away from the church, walking away from meetings, whatever meetings that they're supposed to be at, you need to say, you know, I just want to encourage you today. Don't give up on God. He's doing a work in you. Keep coming. I mean, I can't always help you. Like Denise, we've been praying for you and praying for you. God's getting us closer and closer, and God's really showing her some stuff. And then we got a couple people who come who are schizophrenics, and I have not got to that kind of power yet because they got two different selves, and they don't even know who they are, and I got to get all that out of the way by power of God. The strong man in me, which is Christ, has to be stronger than the thing in them because they can't help out with the deliverance. Phew. That's why when we pray for Robert, Irene's son, who's schizophrenic, has everybody noticed? Robert just goes down, and he stays a long time. And he looks like he is dead. I mean, he is gone. But you know what? He's getting off his medications. He's getting better and better. We can't set Robert free with truth because he's so bound with schizophrenia, he can't receive truth. But the power of God can set him free anyway. And so he's getting freer and freer and freer without us having any understanding. And I just cry out for the day to have the kind of power where the totally insane person, like you see in the Bible, comes running out at you and gets totally free. It's coming. God already told me when that hits, it's coming, then this ministry will finally be ready to go public. So, but you know what? I want to enjoy every single bit of the journey. I want to learn as much as I can. So I'm not like waiting for that, but I know that's coming. So in the meantime, I want to do whatever. What do you want me to learn in this time? See, he's already able to set them free. I'm the one. You're the one who doesn't have the revelation yet. You don't have the power. God lives in you, but you don't know how to get the flesh and everything else out of the way so it can happen. So it's, everybody sits around. Jesus said so clear. We say such stuff anyway. You read it in books and everywhere. God's not waiting to bring revival. He said, the fields are white with harvest. The laborers are few. The church should quit concentrating on the harvest and start finding out why the laborers are few and why they're so weak. That's scripture. You're sitting around, what are you praying for? You're sitting around praying for hours. Why don't you get right and get laborers and then something can happen? It's like, oh God, I'm going to step on some toes now. Oh, we pray. Oh God, bring revival. Oh God, like he doesn't want to. He's sitting up there going, no, let anybody go to hell. What the heck? Oh God, please bring revival, please. No, I don't want to. We're so superior to you, God. Our love is so much greater. We want revival. Why don't you? I don't see any praying like that in the Bible ever. Ooh, I just made a lot of people mad if this goes on the radio. What they need to be saying is, God, why is there no real power in my life? God, what do you have to do to change my heart? Where do I have to go to get free that I can touch the splinter in their eye? God, what is the problem on our end of it? Because obviously, you've wanted revival since your son bled to death, or not bled to death, but died and bled to save the world. You've wanted revival, Lord. And you've done everything you're going to do because it is finished. Your part's finished. You made the way, absolutely made the way for revival. 100% made. It is finished. So why are we spending hours asking you to do something that you've already made the way for instead of asking God to change us to be laborers who can handle what you've already made the way for? Because then we'd have to deal with our pride and our arrogance and our failures and our wickedness instead of pointing to God. I'm not making fun of people, but that's what we do. We all do it. We've done it. I've done it. I remember praying. I tell you, this is where the big breakthrough for me in prayer. I was in a church service once, and I was praying that, God, would you move? I know some of you have heard it, but we got some new people. This is such a funny story. It's very embarrassing anyway. I was in this church. I was so excited. God was moving everywhere. He hadn't moved in this church yet. God, would you move? Oh, God, would you move? Oh, God, please move. I was just praying like this. Oh, God, touch your people. Oh, God. We're telling him what to do. What are we? We are just, our praying is really pretty. Anyway, the Lord says to me, Cindy, quit telling me what to do. It was like a light bulb. I mean, everything I've ever read about prayer is to tell God what to do, as if he doesn't know what to do and I'm supposed to tell him. Some of it's ridiculous. I'm just being honest. It's pride. It's pride. It's pride in the body of Christ. It's pride in any little bit of spirituality we have that we want to think is something. Get a teeny bit of anointing and we think we've made it. You know, no, nobody's really been raised from the dead. Nobody's really been healed. Nothing major's really changing. But God's so awesome to anoint a little and we think we got it. Oh, we don't even know what the glory is about. So I said, huh? I said, well, God, I thought that's what I was supposed to pray. I said, well, what do you want? He says, I already know what I want to do. Now you make yourself available for me to do it through. I'm like, huh? He said, yeah, I already know what I want to do. He said, I just need somebody to work through. So he said, so instead of praying, instead of you telling me what to do, say, Lord, use me any way you want to do what you want to do. That's a dangerous prayer. So I thought, oh, I said, oh, okay, God, Lord, I'll do anything that you want to do to have your way in this place. God, use me any way you want. Oh, dangerous prayer. He said, get out in the aisle. Huh? I'm brand new at this church. They don't know me. He said, get out in the aisle. I had just gotten kicked out of another church with fire called down from the altar. And I wasn't even that bold in that church. I said, huh? Get out in the aisle. Okay. So I got out in the aisle. Next thing I know, I don't know what happened. Thank God. The power of God hit me. I was running around the whole building, cooing like a dove. This was a dead service, okay? I'm cooing. I'm serious. I had doves at the time. I didn't know why. I guess I got their sound effects in my thinking. I can't coo like one. I sounded exactly like a dove. God had me go bonkers. I jumped on chairs. I laid hands, not on the women, on every single man in the place. I laid hands on bald heads. I laid hands on the drummer while he was drumming. I laid hands on every single person, not the pastor, because of the sphere of influence he would not have received, and it would have been a mess, and God didn't have me do it. And God wouldn't have me come there to try to take over his whatever he's doing kind of thing. Maybe if he was more open, he would have. Anyway, the Spirit of God hit. The Spirit of God hit. It was unbelievable. I can't even describe it. It was revival. People started crying and shaking. The men started dancing. The band started playing. Everything just went. The pastor was like, he was a little bit funky because he wasn't the one that God used to bring it, but that was okay. People were thanking me. Men were thanking me at the word. Women were crying. They were falling out. Karen was on the floor the whole time. She was the intercessor for all the stuff. Every time I had to do something crazy, if you look between the pews, Karen was on the floor bouncing. She never knew what was going on. She was totally out of it, and she'd bounce supernaturally the whole time. She's the bouncer. Well, she's bouncing so I won't get bounced out, I guess. But I'm just saying, it totally changed the way I pray. So next time you're sitting in that dead service, don't say, oh, God, please move. Oh, God, change somebody's heart. Oh, God. Say, oh, God, dangerous prayer. I am available to do whatever you want. Please use me. And you might get in lots of trouble. But who are you trying to please? First of all, if you're out of order, then they should be mature enough, if they're in leadership, to handle it correctly and biblically and help you. And if you're not out of order, God's going to back it up and things are going to happen. But all these intercessor, prayer warriors, prophet people sitting around day in and day out asking God to send the harvest, to bring the harvest, when he's already said in his word, it's ready. When will you be ready? And as soon as a true move of God comes to bring repentance and sanctification and inner healing and deliverance, the enemy comes in with some hoopla to make it seem like forget that. And as soon as we forget that, we grieve the heart of God and we go off in the counterfeit lane.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one to put on the radio.
He's saying, if only you would listen to him today. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Who was it who listened and then rebelled? Surely all those whom Moses led out of Egypt. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Surely those who sinned and whose dead bodies fell in the desert. To whom did he swear they would never enter his rest? Surely those who would not believe. So we see that it was their refusal to believe which prevented them from entering in. Let us beware then, since the promise never lapses. None of you must think. This is for you, William. None of you must think that he has come too late for the promise of entering into his rest. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've been through, and I don't care what your circumstances is taking you. You can begin to believe God, believe his word, let him be the one building the house, bring everything else down, go through the work of sanctification, go where it's hard, deal with the issues, quit hiding them even from yourself, cry out till you see something real in your life, and enter into the rest. The rest is the place where God is everything. The rest is the place where God gets the glory. The rest is the place where harvest is going to come, because it takes the laborers to get into the rest. We're sitting there looking for the world to come in, when God's waiting for the church to be enter into the rest, and then the power of God's going to be everywhere. Look at this many people. If this few people in this room truly entered into the rest and supernaturally did all the exploits that God would have you do, greater exploits than Jesus Christ did according to the Bible, we would see an unbelievable revival. But it wouldn't be built in somebody's church or somebody's ministry or somebody's name. It'll be about, and I think God's going to do a great harvest and revival. And the church overall, if you read the Sunday, won't even know what's going on. They're going to be getting emptier and emptier while more and more people are going to get saved and right with God and going on to the things he has for them. And they may miss it if they don't try to enter the rest. I'm not going to miss it. I am not in a drought. I am not in a famine. I cannot even eat it as fast as God's dishing it to me. I cannot minister to the amount of people who are calling and coming and wanting to get free. I can work 24/7 and still not have near enough time to do the things that God has called me to do. And that's why I said, Lord, I only want to do the works that you have for me to do, because there's so much to do. I am called to raise up a godly generation of people who will do the greater works. I'm not to try to go do all the things that he's anointed me now to do. I want to see Carrie moving into ministry to set those kids free from substance abuse. She's already got the license. She's already got the platform. She's already got everything she needs. I want to see God give her a building.